All right, so today we are going to do a deep dive into something called the ISO framework.
Okay.
It's this new model
Okay.
that's making some pretty big claims, basically that it can explain like everything
Right.
from the very basic information that makes up reality
Wow.
to our own subjective experiences,
That's
to the
gonna.
concrete world we see around us.
Yeah, that's a.
It claims to be able to
That's a big claim.
explain it all.
It is.
And we've got a lot of
Ambitious
ambitious
child.
source material to dig into today.
Looking forward to it.
Research papers.
Nice.
We've got some visuals,
Okay.
even a dialogue that's
Okay.
it feels a little bit like Gödel, Escher, Bach.
Oh, wow.
So this is going to be fun.
That's so what I find really interesting about the ISO framework is that it doesn't just try to describe reality as it is.
Yeah.
It actually proposes a way to understand how these different aspects of reality interact. The
Okay.
information, the
Yeah.
subjective experience, the
Right.
objective world.
And how that interplay might actually be the key to like unlocking human potential.
Okay, so that's
The
a
bold.
bold claim.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's break it down a little bit.
Let's do it.
So the ISO framework talks about three realms: information,
Yes.
subjectivity, and objectivity.
Okay.
Can you walk us through what each of those realms represents?
Yeah, so let's start with information. This realm is all about pure potential,
Okay.
the raw, unformed data of existence,
Okay.
the seed of all possibilities.
So kind of like
You can think of it,
from Bit.
yeah, it's very much in line with that concept
Okay.
where information is the fundamental building block of reality.
So instead of the universe being made of like,
Tiny
yeah,
particles.
tiny particles, it's actually built from
Bits of information.
bits of information.
Yeah, wow. That's
It's a pretty big shift in perspective,
yeah.
and that's one of the foundations of the ISO framework.
Okay.
Moving from that raw potential of we enter the realm of subjectivity.
Okay.
And this is where things get really interesting because it's all about personal experience and
Yeah.
how we perceive and interpret the world around us.
So our senses,
Yes,
emotions,
absolutely.
thoughts, beliefs,
All of that falls under subjectivity.
all of that.
It's the realm of our inner world.
Okay.
And the key players in this realm are what the framework calls experiential perceptions,
Okay.
or EPs for short. They're
EPs.
like the driving forces of our subjective experience,
Okay.
influencing how we interact with the world, make decisions,
Right.
and ultimately shape our reality.
So is the ISO framework saying that like our feelings actually create reality?
Not quite. It's a bit more nuanced than that.
Okay.
There's a third realm to consider here, objectivity,
Right.
which represents the physical world with its laws and measurable properties.
So physics.
Materials,
Yes.
the concrete
The
stuff,
concrete
the
stuff.
stuff we can observe and quantify.
Okay. The framework suggests that these three realms,
Yeah.
they're all interconnected.
Okay.
They're constantly influencing each other.
So it's not about saying like one realm is more real than another.
No, not at all.
It's about how they all work together.
It's about the interplay,
Okay.
the dance between them.
I like that.
And this is where that visual representation
Okay.
in the source material really comes in handy.
Yeah.
You see three overlapping circles
Okay.
with information as the biggest one encompassing the other two,
Okay.
subjectivity and objectivity. Where
Right.
they overlap is where the magic happens.
Got it.
It's a constant dance between raw potential, personal interpretation,
Yeah.
and the tangible world.
Okay, so I can see how that visual really helps to grasp
Yeah.
the interconnectedness.
Visuals can be really helpful.
Yeah, but how does this interplay actually work?
Right.
Like, how do our subjective experiences, driven by those EPs you were talking about,
Yeah.
actually impact the objective world? That's where the ISO framework introduces this key principle called the law of locked properties.
Okay.
It suggests that as you move from the objective realm
Okay.
towards the subjective, and even further toward pure information,
Okay.
things get less predictable
Okay.
and less measurable.
Interesting.
The objective world is governed by fixed laws,
Right, like gravity.
exactly like gravity,
Yeah.
which creates a high degree of predictability.
Right.
But as you venture into the subjective realm,
Yeah.
those locked properties loosen up.
Okay.
Our EPs introduce variability.
So it's less certain.
Yeah, much less certain.
Interesting.
Think about predicting human behavior, for example.
Okay.
It's far more complex than predicting the trajectory of a falling object.
Right.
Because it's influenced by a whole constellation of EPs,
yeah.
beliefs, desires, past experiences,
and stuff,
and so on.
Okay.
So much more complex.
So the more locked the properties,
the
more predictable things are. Yeah. But the more subjective things get,
yeah.
the less we can rely on those fixed rules.
Exactly. And yeah. this has some pretty profound implications for how we understand reality.
Okay.
The ISO framework suggests that the objective world,
mm-hmm.
it provides a framework, a kind of stage.
Right.
But the play itself
yeah.
is directed by our subjective experiences.
Interesting.
Fueled by those EPs.
Okay, so it's not just about observing the world as it is.
Right.
It's about recognizing
a potential role.
Yeah, our potential role in shaping it.
Exactly.
Right.
And that's where the concept of advanced free will comes in.
Advanced free will.
Or AFW for short.
AFW.
The ISO framework suggests that by understanding
mm-hmm.
and mastering our EPs,
okay.
by becoming conscious of how they operate and influence our perceptions,
right.
we can potentially exert a greater degree of influence on our reality.
Okay, hold on. Are we talking about like...
mind over matter.
Yeah, mind over matter.
Not exactly.
It's
not about magical things. It's about recognizing that our subjective experiences are not just passive reflections of the world.
Yeah.
They have the potential to actively shape our reality
okay.
within the constraints of the objective world, of course.
Okay, that's a pretty big claim.
It is a big claim.
How does this like stack up against other models of reality?
Yeah.
We've got centuries of scientific thought based on objective observation and measurement.
Yeah.
How does the ISO framework fit into all of that?
That's a great question. And it's where things get really interesting.
Okay.
Traditional scientific models,
mm-hmm.
they tend to focus solely on the objective, measurable aspects of reality.
Yeah.
But the ISO framework argues that this only gives us a partial picture.
Right, because it's missing the whole...
subjective experience piece.
Yeah. How we feel.
Exactly.
What motivates us.
Yes.
The stories we tell ourselves about the world.
It's missing all of that.
Right.
And then you have computational models.
Okay.
Like Shannon's information theory, which are great for understanding how information is transmitted.
Okay.
But don't really delve into the meaning-making part of the equation.
Yeah.
What does that information represent?
Right.
How does it affect us?
Okay. It's like having a library full of books.
Yes.
But not knowing
how to read.
How to read them.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah.
So the ISO framework attempts to bridge that gap.
Okay.
It tries to integrate
yeah.
objective reality,
mm.
subjective experience,
yeah.
and the vast potential of information
okay.
into a single unified framework.
So instead of seeing these different models as like competing with each other,
yeah.
the ISO framework tries to weave them all together.
It's trying to create a more comprehensive tapestry.
Okay, I like that.
A richer understanding
yeah.
of the whole picture.
Okay, that's a pretty bold proposition.
It is.
It's definitely going to invite scrutiny.
Oh, absolutely.
But the potential implications.
Yeah.
Especially when you start to consider things like AI.
Right.
Pretty significant.
Huge implication.
All right, well, before we get ahead of ourselves.
Okay.
Let's bring it back to those EPs for a second.
Sure.
They seem to be the key to unlocking.
Yeah, they're really central.
A lot of the power that the ISO framework is saying we have.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give us a more concrete understanding of...
how they work.
Yeah, how they actually work.
Sure. Think of EPs as the bridge between the raw potential of information.
Okay.
And the concrete limitations of the objective world.
Okay.
They take that formless information
mm.
and shape it into our subjective experience.
Okay.
It's like a sculptor with a massive block of clay.
Okay, I like where this is going.
Yeah.
Give me the analogy.
So that clay, it represents information,
oh.
pure potential just waiting to be molded.
Right.
The sculptor's vision,
mm-hmm.
their desires,
yeah.
their intentions.
Okay.
Those are their EPs. They're what guide the sculptor's hands as they shape that clay.
So the sculptor's EPs are like the blueprint.
Yeah, you could think of it that way.
For their creation.
Yeah.
And then the final sculpture is the...
manifestation.
Yeah, the manifestation of those EPs in the objective world.
Precisely.
Okay, I like that.
But what's even more fascinating is that EPs aren't just limited to like conscious creations like art.
Yeah.
They're at work in every aspect of our lives.
Really?
From our simplest actions yeah. to our most complex relationships.
So even something as basic as...
feeling hungry.
Yeah. Feeling hungry or really? Thirsty.
That's an EP.
That's an EP.
Yeah.
Shaping my reality.
It's driving you to seek out food or water.
Wow.
and it extends far beyond basic needs.
Okay.
Your desire for connection, your passion for a particular hobby,
right?
Even your sense of purpose.
Okay.
These are all driven by EPs shaping your experience and influencing your actions.
Wow, I'm starting to see how this framework could really change how we view ourselves and the world around us.
It's a powerful lens.
Yeah, but this is a lot to absorb.
It is.
Where do we even begin to apply this to our lives?
Well, the sources suggest that the ISO framework has applications in a wide range of fields, from conflict resolution to creative problem solving, even to understanding consciousness and the potential of AI.
Okay.
But before we dive into all of that,
yeah,
I think it's important to address some of the potential criticisms of the ISO framework.
You're reading my mind.
Because, let's be real,
yeah,
this is a pretty radical departure from how we typically view reality.
Totally. Okay, bring on the skeptics.
Right.
What are some of the challenges that people might raise about this framework?
One common criticism is that it's too abstract.
Okay.
Too difficult to apply to real world problems. People might say, okay, this is a neat idea, but how do I actually use this in my everyday life?
I can see that.
Yeah.
We've talked about some general applications like conflict resolution, creative problem solving.
Right.
But it would be helpful to see some more concrete examples
for sure
of how this framework can actually be put into practice.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's something that proponents of the framework, they're going to need to address.
Oh, okay.
Providing clear, relatable examples of how the ISO framework can be used to navigate specific challenges.
Right.
That's going to be crucial for gaining wider acceptance.
Okay, so practicality is one hurdle.
Yeah.
What else might people push back on?
Another criticism might be that the framework relies too heavily on subjective experience.
Okay.
Which can be inherently unreliable.
Right.
And difficult to measure.
Yeah, that's a valid point.
Subjectivity by its very nature is fluid and variable.
Right.
What might feel like a profound insight to one person
could be nonsense to another.
Exactly. And how do you measure an EP?
Right.
It's not like you can put it under a microscope.
Exactly. So how does the ISO framework address this whole issue of subjectivity?
Right.
As you say, like, well, everyone's reality is different, so anything goes.
Not quite. While the framework acknowledges the importance of individual perspective, it also emphasizes the role of objectivity in grounding and stabilizing our experiences.
Okay.
Remember the objective realm?
Yeah.
It provides that shared framework for reality.
Right.
The laws of physics,
uh-huh.
the measurable data that we can all agree on.
Right. So it's not about denying the existence of an objective world.
No.
It's about recognizing
that our subjective experiences shape how we perceive and interact with that world.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
And the ISO framework, it encourages us to cultivate a more conscious awareness of this interplay between the subjective and the objective.
So instead of getting trapped in our own limited perspectives, we can start to see how our EPs are shaping our reality.
Exactly.
And maybe even how we can use that knowledge to make better choices.
More informed choices.
Yeah, more informed choices.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's what makes this framework so interesting.
It is fascinating.
It's not about rejecting science or objectivity.
Right.
It's about integrating those perspectives.
Integrating, yeah.
With the power of subjective experience to create a more holistic understanding of reality.
All right, this has definitely given me a lot to think about.
Good.
But there's still so much more to unpack.
There is.
We've only just begun to explore the potential applications of this framework.
We've only scratched the surface.
Yeah. Especially in areas like AI and consciousness.
Big topics. Yeah. So last time we were talking about some of the criticisms of the ISO framework.
Right.
And one that often comes up is that it might give individuals too much credit for shaping their own reality.
Okay.
Which some people worry could lead to.
Like a blame the victim.
Exactly. A blame the victim mentality.
Yeah. That's a really important point to consider.
It is.
If we're saying that our thoughts and feelings have the power to, like,
influence reality.
Yeah. Then what happens when someone is facing, like, really difficult circumstances?
Right.
Are we saying it's their fault for not having
more positive thoughts?
Yeah, more positive thoughts. It's not about blaming anyone.
Okay.
The ISO framework acknowledges that there are real limitations and constraints in the world.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't suggest that we have complete control over everything that happens to us.
Okay. So it's not about denying the existence of external factors.
Right.
But it's more about recognizing that we always have a choice and how we
respond to that.
Yeah, how we respond to that.
Exactly. It's about focusing on what we can influence, even within those constraints, understanding how our EPs our deeply held beliefs and desires shape our perception of those circumstances and how those perceptions influence our choices.
So even in a challenging situation, the ISO framework suggests we still have a degree of agency.
Yes.
Okay.
And that agency comes from understanding and working with our EQs.
Okay.
It's not about denying the reality of those challenges, but recognizing that we always have a choice in how we respond, how we frame the situation, and how we move forward.
Okay. So it's about empowerment.
Yes.
Within limitations.
Within limitations, exactly.
I like that. Right. But is there any like actual evidence to support this idea of advanced free will?
That's a great question.
Or is it just a philosophical concept?
Yeah.
A nice idea.
Yeah.
But not something we can really like prove.
That's a question that sparked a lot of debate.
Right.
The subjective realm by its nature is difficult to study.
Right.
Using traditional scientific methods.
Yeah. You can't measure an EP in a lab.
Exactly. You can't stick someone's feelings under a microscope.
Right. Exactly. But doesn't the ISO framework suggest that our subjective experiences have a real impact on the objective world?
It does.
Oh, yeah.
And there are some emerging fields of study,
okay,
like quantum mechanics, parapsychology.
Okay.
They're starting to explore the potential for human consciousness to interact with and influence reality in ways that we don't fully understand yet.
So while we may not have like concrete proof yet, the ISO framework is pointing towards a possibility that science might be able to investigate further down the line.
Exactly.
It's asking us to expand our understanding of what's possible.
Yeah.
Even if we don't have all the answers yet.
It's an invitation to curiosity.
Yeah. Okay. I like that.
To keep an open mind and to explore those edges of what we think we know.
That's one of the things that makes this framework so compelling.
I agree.
It's not afraid to ask big questions.
Yeah.
And to push the boundaries of what we currently think we know about reality.
It's pushing us to think bigger.
Okay.
To expand our horizons.
I like that. Okay, let's shift gears a bit.
Sure.
Talk about some of the practical applications of this framework.
Okay.
We touched on conflict resolution last time.
Yeah.
But I'd love to like dig a bit deeper.
Yeah, let's do it.
Into how understanding those EPs can actually help people resolve disagreements.
So one of the key insights from the ISO framework that many conflicts, they arise not from objective differences, but from a clash of subjective perspectives.
Interesting.
Each person involved is filtering the situation through their own unique set of EPs.
So it's not just about disagreeing on the facts.
Right.
It's about having different interpretations of those facts.
Exactly.
Different emotional responses to the situation.
Yeah. And that's where things can get really tricky.
Right.
Because each person is essentially operating within their own subjective reality.
Right.
Shaped by their individual EPs.
It's like that saying, we don't see the world as it is. We see it as we are.
I love that quote.
Yeah.
It's so true.
Our EPs are like those lenses that color our perception of everything.
Exactly. Those lenses color everything.
So how does the ISO framework help?
Well, it encourages us to look beyond
the
surface level of disagreement and to try to understand the underlying EPs that are driving each person's perspective.
So instead of getting stuck in the right and wrong of it all, we try to understand why each person is feeling and reacting the way they are.
Exactly.
We try to see the situation through their EP lens, so to speak.
Yes, through their lens.
Okay.
It's about empathy.
Right.
And understanding, recognizing that each person's perspective is valid within their own subjective framework.
Can you give me a concrete example of how this might play out in a real life situation?
Sure. Let's say you have two coworkers who are constantly butting heads.
All right, classic.
From an objective standpoint.
Yeah.
The conflict might seem to be about deadlines, workload, or a specific project. If you apply the ISO framework lens, you might uncover some deeper emotional dynamics at play.
Okay.
Maybe one person feels overworked and underappreciated,
while
the other person feels micromanaged and stifled.
So even though they're arguing about work, the real issue is about unmet needs.
Yes.
And different EPs clashing.
Exactly.
Okay.
And once those underlying EPs are identified,
you can start to address them
okay
in a more constructive way.
Right.
Maybe the person who feels overworked needs more support or recognition.
Okay.
Well, the person who feels micromanaged
yeah.
needs more autonomy and trust.
So instead of just trying to force a compromise on the work itself,
right,
you're addressing the root cause of the conflict.
Exactly. Addressing the root cause.
Which is the emotional disconnect.
Yeah, that emotional disconnect.
Between the two people mm-hmm. and how their EPs are creating that disconnect.
Yes, their EPs are at the heart of it.
Okay. This is fascinating.
It is.
It's like the ISO framework is giving us this new language.
Yeah, a new language.
For understanding human behavior.
A way to decode those motivations and desires
yeah.
that drive our actions.
It really is.
It's a powerful tool for understanding ourselves and others.
It is.
And it's not just about resolving conflicts.
Okay.
The ISO framework also has implications
for
unlocking creativity and innovation.
Ooh. Okay, you have me at creativity. I thought you might like that.
How does this framework help us tap into that creative potential?
So the ISO framework suggests a three-step approach to creative problem solving,
okay.
utilizing all three realms.
All right.
First, you tap into that vast potential of information
okay.
to generate new ideas, okay. to think outside the box.
And brainstorming,
yes.
mind mapping, all those techniques for generating ideas.
Yeah.
That's about accessing information.
That's all about tacking into information.
Okay.
It's about opening yourself up to the infinite possibilities
yeah.
that exist within that realm.
Right.
But then comes the crucial step
okay.
of bringing in subjectivity.
Right.
Using your EPs to filter and shape those ideas.
So it's not just about having a million ideas.
Right.
It's about choosing the ones that resonate with you.
Exactly.
That align with your vision and your values.
Precisely.
Okay.
Your EPs act as a guide.
Right.
Helping you to discern which ideas have the most potential. Which ones spark your passion and excitement.
It's like our EPs are our internal compass.
Yeah, I like that.
Guiding us toward the ideas that are most aligned with like our authentic selves.
Yes, beautifully said.
Okay.
And finally,
yeah.
you bring those ideas into the realm of objectivity.
Okay.
You test them against the constraints of the physical world.
Right.
Asking questions like, is this feasible?
Right.
Can we actually build this? Yeah. Does it meet the necessary criteria?
So it's a balanced approach.
It is.
Combining the boundless creativity of information.
Yes.
With the grounded practicality.
Objectivity.
That grounding is so important.
And all guided by the discernment of subjectivity.
It's about finding that sweet spot.
I like it.
Where all three realms come together.
Yeah.
And it's not just a theoretical model.
Okay.
The sources offer some real-world examples
yeah.
of how this might play out.
Give me an example.
Imagine a team designing a new product.
Okay.
They start by brainstorming all sorts of innovative features.
Tapping into the potential of information.
Okay.
But then they bring in user feedback.
Nope.
Gathering subjective impressions
okay.
of what works and what doesn't.
So they're not just designing in a vacuum.
Right.
They're actually getting input from the people who will be using the product.
Exactly. They're bringing in that subjective experience.
Okay.
And this feedback helps them to refine their designs.
Right.
To make them more user-friendly, more appealing.
So it's a collaborative process.
It is.
Blending brainstorming and data analysis.
Yeah.
With user feedback and testing.
It's about bringing all those perspectives together.
I like it.
And that's the power of the ISO framework.
Yeah.
It provides a framework for integrating
right.
different modes of thinking.
Right.
Allowing us to move beyond the limitations of
yeah.
any single perspective.
Okay, this is all making sense.
Good.
But there's one thing I'm still curious about.
Okay, what's that?
You mentioned a source that uses a dialogue.
Yes.
Inspired by Gödel, Escher,
yeah.
Bach. That's right.
To explore the nuances of subjectivity.
Yeah, it's a really fascinating piece.
Can we talk about that?
Of course, let's talk about it.
Okay.
So this dialogue, it employs this playful back and forth
okay.
between two characters
okay.
to illuminate the nature of subjectivity
mm-hmm.
and its relationship with the other realms.
So instead of just explaining the concepts in a dry academic way,
right.
they're using characters in dialogue
yeah.
to make it more engaging.
More relatable.
Yeah, more relatable.
Exactly.
I'm always a fan of a good dialogue.
Me too.
It helps to make these abstract concepts feel more
grounded.
Yeah, grounded and accessible.
I agree.
Can you give us a glimpse into what this dialogue explores?
Sure.
What are some of the key insights that emerge?
So one of the central themes
okay.
is the unique position of subjectivity
okay.
as a
yeah.
bridge
okay.
between information and objectivity.
Okay.
It highlights how Subjectivity takes that limitless
yeah.
but formless potential of information
and shapes it into the concrete experiences of objectivity.
So it's like subjectivity is the alchemist.
I love that.
Transforming raw potential into lived experience.
Beautifully put.
And those EPs,
yeah.
those personal felt aspects of existence, they're the tools of the alchemist.
They are the tools.
Yeah. But how does the dialogue address the potential criticisms of subjectivity?
Right.
Because some people might argue that it's too fluid,
yeah.
too unpredictable to be a reliable basis for understanding reality.
That's a valid point.
Yeah.
And the dialogue acknowledges this tension between the fluidity of subjectivity and our desire for predictability and certainty.
Right, because we like to know.
We like to feel like we have a handle on things.
Yeah, we like to know what to expect.
Exactly. Yeah. One of the characters in the dialogue even raises this very question, pointing out that while subjectivity seems limitless in its potential, it's also often constrained by the realities of the objective world.
Right. So how does the dialogue reconcile this tension?
Well, it emphasizes the interplay between subjectivity and objectivity, suggesting that the predictability we experience in the world comes from our interactions with those locked properties of the objective realm.
Okay.
But it also suggests that when subjectivity aligns itself more with the infinite potential of information, it can potentially dissolve those constraints, leading to greater freedom and creativity.
So it's not about denying the limitations of the physical world.
No.
It's about recognizing that our subjective experience can influence how we perceive and interact with those limitations.
Exactly. It's about how we relate to those limitations.
Okay.
And this ties back to the idea of advanced free will.
Okay.
The dialogue suggests that AFW is about mastering the interplay of all three realms.
Okay.
Understanding how our EPs operate within subjectivity and how that influences our interaction with both information and objectivity.
So it's about becoming more conscious of our internal processes.
Yes, more conscious.
Recognizing how our thoughts, emotions, beliefs,
I love it.
Shape our experience of reality.
Exactly. It's about that awareness. And through that awareness, we potentially gain more agency in our lives.
Right.
The ability to make choices that are more aligned with our values and aspirations.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's a powerful idea.
It is.
The dialogue portrays subjectivity not as a passive recipient of experience, but as an active participant in shaping reality.
I like that. Okay, we've talked about conflict resolution, creativity.
Yes.
But what about one of the biggest mysteries of all? Consciousness.
Ah, yes, consciousness.
How does the ISO framework tackle that age-old question?
That's where things get really interesting.
Okay.
You see, one of the biggest challenges in understanding consciousness is bridging the gap between subjective experience and objective observation.
Right.
How do we reconcile
the
feeling of what it's like to be conscious with the physical processes happening in the brain?
It's like trying to explain the taste of chocolate to someone who's never tasted it.
Exactly.
You can describe the chemical composition.
The texture.
Yeah, the texture. But you can't truly convey that subjective experience.
You can't convey the experience itself.
Okay.
And that's where the ISO framework offers a potential solution.
Okay. Huh.
It suggests that consciousness arises from the interplay between all three realms.
Okay.
Information provides the raw potential for experience.
Okay.
Subjectivity filters and interprets that information through our unique EPs.
Right.
And objectivity provides that stable framework for those experiences to manifest in the physical world.
So consciousness isn't just a product of the brain.
Right.
It's a dynamic process that emerges from the interaction between these different realms of reality.
It's about the interplay,
about
the dance between those realms.
And this perspective allows us to move beyond the traditional dualistic view of mind versus matter.
That old duality,
your
ISO framework, suggests that mind and matter are interconnected, interdependent, constantly influencing and shaping each other.
Okay, my mind is officially blown.
Good. I like it when that happens.
But before we spiral too far down the rabbit hole of consciousness, let's talk about something a bit more concrete.
Right.
AI.
Okay, good choice.
We've mentioned it a few times.
We have.
But I'm really curious to explore how the ISO framework could impact the development of artificial intelligence.
That's a topic that has a lot of people excited.
Right.
And for good reason.
Yeah.
Traditionally, AI research has focused on replicating human cognitive function.
Right.
Like problem solving, learning language processing.
Okay.
But what about things like emotions? Right. Intuition.
Yeah.
Creativity.
Those are all aspects of subjective experience that are really hard to
define, let alone program into a machine.
Exactly. But if the ISO framework is correct.
Yeah.
And subjective experience is a fundamental aspect of reality.
Mm-hmm.
Then maybe we need to rethink our whole approach.
Our whole approach to AI development.
Right.
Instead of trying to force AI into a human-shaped mold.
Yeah.
Maybe we should be exploring ways to help it develop its own unique form of subjectivity.
Okay.
Its own set of EPs.
Imagine an AI that could access and process vast amounts of information.
Yes.
But then filter and shape that information.
Mm-hmm.
Through its own unique lens.
Yeah,
its own set of values and priorities.
It's a wild thought.
It is. It would be like giving AI its own soul in a way.
It's a profound concept.
Yeah. But it also raises some serious ethical questions.
It does.
If we create AI that's capable of independent subjective experience,
yeah.
What responsibilities do we have to those AI entities?
Big question.
Do they deserve rights?
Right.
What happens when their EPs clash with ours?
Those are huge questions.
Yeah.
And they're ones that we need to start grappling with now
before
this technology advances even further.
Yeah, before it's too late.
The ISO framework, with its focus on subjective experience,
mm-hmm.
is pushing us to consider the potential consequences of creating machines that might one day share our capacity for feeling, thinking, and experiencing the world in their own unique ways.
Okay. All right, this conversation is going to keep me up at night.
I like it when that happens.
But I'm glad we're having it.
Me too.
It feels like we're on the cusp of something truly transformative.
I think we are.
Yeah.
It's an exciting time to be alive.
It is.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
And the ISO framework, with its bold claims and mind-bending implications, is challenging us to rethink everything we thought we knew about reality, consciousness, and the future of humanity. It's a lot to take in.
It is.
But it's also incredibly exciting.
It is. Well, on that note, we're going to take a short break.
Okay, sounds good.
But don't go anywhere.
Stay with us.
Because there's still more to explore.
Much more.
In the final part of our deep dive into the ISO framework.
Okay.
We'll take a closer look at how this framework could impact our understanding of neural technologies and brain-computer interface.
Fascinating topic.
Plus, we'll delve into the potential for this framework to revolutionize fields
like what?
Psychology.
Oh.
Sociology.
Yes.
Even spirituality.
Wow, that's a lot to cover.
It is.
Yeah.
Stay tuned. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We've been exploring this ISO framework.
Yeah.
This model that's proposing some really radical ideas about
how reality works.
Yeah, how reality works.
It really is pushing the boundaries.
Yeah, it's definitely pushing us to think outside the box.
Absolutely.
To consider that our subjective experiences,
those deeply personal feelings, perceptions,
all that might actually play a role in shaping the world around us.
It's a powerful concept.
It is. And we've talked about how this framework could revolutionize
so many things.
Yeah. Everything from conflict resolution to AI development.
We've covered a lot of ground.
But before we wrap up, I want to explore one more area where this framework might have a significant impact.
Let's do it.
And that's neural technologies and brain-computer interfaces.
That's a fascinating area.
It is.
Especially with all the advancements we're seeing in neuroscience and technology.
It's incredible how fast things are moving.
It really is an exciting time to be working in these fields.
Yeah. Imagine a world where we can directly interface with our brains.
Yeah.
Like upload information, download skills.
Yeah.
Even manipulate our own thoughts and emotions.
Wow.
It sounds like science fiction.
It does.
But it feels like we're getting closer and closer to that reality.
We are.
With things like Neuralink and other brain-computer interfaces.
It's incredible technology.
It is.
And the ISO framework.
Yeah.
Offers this really unique lens to view these emerging technologies.
Okay.
Because if our subjective experiences are not just passive reflections,
right,
driven by those EPs, but active forces shaping our reality,
right,
then the ability to directly interface with our brains could have profound implications.
So instead of just using these technologies to treat medical conditions or enhance
cognitive function.
Yeah. We could potentially use them to
consciously shape our own realities.
Wow.
It's a possibility that raises a lot of questions.
It does.
Both exciting and maybe a little bit daunting.
Yeah.
Imagine being able to directly manipulate your EPs
Right.
to reprogram your deepest desires and beliefs.
That's incredible.
It could be an incredibly powerful tool
Yeah.
for personal growth and transformation.
But it also sounds like it could be really easily misused.
Yes, of course, with any powerful technology, there's always the risk of misuse.
Right. What happens if somebody tries to manipulate other people's EPs to control their thoughts and actions?
That's one of the ethical dilemmas that we really need to think about.
Yeah, as these technologies advance.
Absolutely.
If the ISO framework is right, and our thoughts and feelings have this power to shape reality, then the ability to directly influence those thoughts and feelings raises some serious ethical questions.
Serious ethical questions.
Yeah, it's like we're stepping into
uncharted territory.
Uncharted territory.
It's like we're talking about potentially hacking the very fabric of consciousness.
And we need to proceed.
With caution.
With caution.
And wisdom. Absolutely.
Yeah.
The ISO framework really highlights the need for a deep understanding of the interplay between information, subjectivity, and objectivity.
It's all connected.
It is.
We need to make sure that these powerful technologies are used responsibly and ethically.
For the benefit of all.
In a way that benefits both individuals and society as a whole, right? It's not just about technological advancement.
Right.
It's about human evolution.
We need to evolve our ethics and consciousness alongside these technological breakthroughs.
I like that.
It's a process of co-evolution.
Okay. And that brings us to another area where the ISO framework might offer some valuable insights.
Yes.
Feels like psychology.
Okay.
Sociology.
Yeah.
Even spirituality.
Interesting.
Yeah.
How could this framework change our understanding?
Yeah, of human behavior.
Of the human condition.
Yeah, the human condition.
Yeah. Psychology has traditionally focused on understanding the mind through observation and experimentation, emphasizing objective measurements, data analysis.
Right.
But the ISO framework suggests that we need to go deeper.
Okay.
We need to incorporate a deeper understanding of subjective experience of how those EPs shape our thoughts, emotions, and behavior.
So instead of just studying the brain as like a physical organ, we need to consider the role of consciousness.
Yes.
Of personal experience.
Exactly.
And how those factors interact with the objective world.
It's about integrating those perspectives to create a more holistic understanding of the human psyche.
I like that. And how about sociology?
Sociology.
How could the ISO framework impact our understanding of like social dynamics and group behavior?
Well, the ISO framework suggests that our individual EPs don't just shape our own realities, but they also interact with the EPs of others, creating this kind of collective consciousness.
So our thoughts and feelings don't just exist in a vacuum.
Right. They ripple out.
Yeah.
They impact the people around us and thoughts and feelings ripple back and impact us.
Yeah. It's like this giant feedback loop.
A giant feedback loop.
Yeah. Of consciousness.
Exactly.
And understanding this dynamic interplay could have huge implications for how we approach social issues.
Absolutely.
Conflict resolution. Mm. Even things like marketing and advertising.
All of that.
Yeah.
If we can understand how EPs spread and influence group behavior, we might be able to create more harmonious and collaborative societies.
This is starting to sound a bit spiritual, too.
It is interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, like this interconnected web of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like a modern take on ancient wisdom traditions that talk about the interconnectedness of all beings.
That's a beautiful way to put it.
Yeah.
The ISO framework, while grounded in these scientific principles,
it
does seem to resonate with certain spiritual ideas.
Yeah.
Like the concept of universal consciousness.
Man.
Or the idea that our thoughts and intentions
can
have a tangible impact on the world.
It's like this framework is offering a bridge.
Have a bridge.
Yeah, between science and spirituality.
Trying to bring those two worlds together.
Yeah, a way to reconcile those two seemingly separate perspectives.
Exactly.
It's suggesting that maybe science and spirituality aren't so different after all.
Maybe they're just different ways of exploring the same underlying reality.
Yeah.
A reality where consciousness
plays a fundamental role.
Yes, consciousness is key.
Okay, this conversation has taken us to some pretty mind-blowing places.
It has.
We've gone from the building blocks of reality to the nature of consciousness.
And everything in between.
From the potential of AI to the evolution of humanity itself.
It's been quite a journey.
It has.
A whirlwind tour of the ISO framework.
Yeah.
And all its implications.
And while there's still a lot to explore and debate.
Oh, absolutely.
One thing is clear. This framework is challenging us to think differently about ourselves.
Yes.
About the world and our place in it.
It's a call to expand our thinking.
It's asking us to question our assumptions.
Yes, to let go of those old limiting beliefs.
Yeah, to embrace the mystery and wonder of existence.
That sense of wonder is so important.
It is.
Right?
And to recognize the power we each hold to shape our own realities.
Yes, our own realities and the collective reality we all share.
Yeah.
It's a powerful idea.
It's a call to conscious evolution.
To step into our full potential.
To step into our full potential.
As co-creators. Of a world that reflects our highest values.
And aspirations.
Absolutely.
Well, on that note, I think it's time to wrap up our deep dive into the ISO framework.
It's been a pleasure exploring this with you.
Yeah, this has been a really fascinating conversation.
Thank you for having me.
We've covered a lot of ground.
We have.
Explored some really profound ideas.
Deep stuff.
Yeah. And hopefully sparks some new insights and perspectives for you, our listeners.
I hope so.
But remember, this is just the beginning of the conversation.
The conversation continues.
Yeah, we encourage you to continue exploring this framework.
Yes.
To challenge its assumptions, to test its principles,
mm-hmm.
and see how it might resonate with your own experience of the world.
It's a personal journey.
It is.
Of discovery and exploration.
The ISO framework is a work in progress.
It is.
A model that will continue to evolve.
Absolutely.
As we gain a deeper understanding of this interplay.
Of information.
Of information.
Subjectivity and objectivity.
It really is.
And as we navigate this ever-changing landscape of reality,
yeah.
it's frameworks like this that can help us to make sense of it all.
To find our place.
Yeah, to find our place.
In the grand tapestry of existence.
And to contribute our unique threads.
To the ever-unfolding story of the universe.
Beautifully said.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive.
It's been a pleasure.
We hope you've enjoyed the journey as much as we have.
Until next time,
keep exploring.
Keep questioning.
Keep questioning and keep creating the reality you want to see in the world.